listening to the Embark Pirate Postgame Show on the Pirate ISP Sports Network. ECU Pirate Football has been sponsored by Pepsi. Born in Eastern Carolina, the official soft drink of ECU football. Touchstone Energy, North Carolina's Touchstone Energy Cooperative. Proud sponsors of Pirate Football. By your Carolina Ford dealers. Proud sponsor of Eastern Carolina Football. Bud Light. It's refreshingly smooth. Bud Light. Always worth it. Verizon Wireless, the official wireless communications provider for the ECU Pirates. East Carolina University. Tomorrow starts here. Domino's Pizza. Get the door. It's Domino's. East Carolina Bank. Excellence in community banking since 1920. And My State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. The executive producer of the Pirates ISP Sports Network is Ben Sutton. Associate producers Joe Potter and Megan Mulder. Coordinating producer Chris Ferris. Network manager Jamie Grine. Staff announcer Carl Schmidt. Special thanks to East Carolina University. Athletic director Terry Holland. And senior associate athletics director for external operations Jimmy Banks. Also to the staff and management of flagship station WSFL 106.5 FM and WNPT 1078. Be sure to join us Sunday nights at 7 o'clock for the RBC Centura Skip Holt Show. Live from Logan's Roadhouse in Greenville. ECU football is an exclusive presentation of ISP, America's home for college sports.
Cable 7 and Talk 1070 present the Pirate Postgame Show. Your chance to call in and talk about the game. The number to call is 355-8822. And now here's your host, Henry Hinton.
All right, everybody. Welcome in. It's our Bud Light Pirate Postgame Show. Henry Hinton here in the studio at the Talk 1070 Cable 7 Studios. And as always, my cohort for the next hour or so on the Bud Lake postgame show is former East Carolina defensive back Snoop Wallace. Snoop, big victory tonight.
Oh, yeah, you got to love it. You got to love it. Electric is in there tonight.
Trent McGee will be at the Bud Lake scoreboard, and we will also be hearing from Coach Skip Holtz coming up. We'll run Coach's press conference for you coming up in just a couple of minutes. East Carolina with the victory tonight goes to 2-3. Over Virginia tonight. We're going to go over the stats. We'll take your phone calls at 355-8822. And Trent is following some games that may have some postseason implications as far as East Carolina is concerned. We're particularly interested in the UAB-Memphis game that is now in the fourth period. And, of course, Snoop tonight with the win. East Carolina puts themselves in contention now for a postseason bowl game and stays alive for the Eastern Division Conference USA race. This was a huge victory. Not that this game had any bearing on the conference race, but I think from a confidence level with Tulsa and SMU coming to town, I think it did have a bearing possibly on East Carolina's ability to go into those two games and feel like they can win them.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely a confidence booster, you know, to come in against an ACC opponent as what we did and then come out with a win. And to win, the way we won today was with confidence. We knew we just had to take care of business, and that reflected with the fans as they were leaving the stadium.
East Carolina tonight, 31, Virginia 21. The Pirates unofficially tonight, we're waiting on the official stat sheet, but the unofficial stats we've got for you tonight, East Carolina 430 yards of offense, UVA with 297 yards, but perhaps the most impressive thing is the fact that East Carolina with 207 yards rushing, about 142 of those in the first half tonight. And, you know, I got to tell you that, you know, as far as I'm concerned, if you want to give a game ball to somebody, you give it to the coaching staff tonight. I heard Skip say a minute ago that coaches don't win, players win, but as a Pirate fan base, you've got to take your hat off to that coaching staff tonight. I'm not sure people realize, we almost saw almost an entirely new offense tonight that was brought on by the fact that East Carolina had an extra week to prepare and the fact that East Carolina had not been successful in the running game. Tonight we saw a fullback in the game on just about every play, which is not something that we've seen in the past. We also saw the two backfield guys in max protection. Right. Instead of having the five receivers on the line of scrimmage, you had three most of the night.
That's right.
Especially in third down situations. And it was just a lot of stuff that we had not seen. We saw option tonight in the red zone.
Finally, we got the option.
I mean, you know, we just saw that there was very little that we had seen in this ball ball game tonight that they had shown on tape to Al Groh and his staff in previous games. So you got to say to East Carolina's coaching staff, they said, we're going to go back to the drawing board and find a way to run the football, and they did it. And if you think they were doing it on a bad defense, Virginia's defense comes into this ball game as probably the best part of their football team.
That's right. That's right. Virginia failed to step up to the plate on defense because they had the capabilities to do it tonight.
Yeah. What were your impressions as far as East Carolina was concerned? You come into this ballgame without Chris Johnson. You've got running back problems. All of a sudden, it's a Brandon tandem. I got to give Philip Horn the props on that because you have Brandon Simmons and Brandon Fractious. Brandon Fractious with 104 yards on 19 carries, over 5.5 yards in average carry tonight for Brandon Fractious. I mean, it was an impressive effort, I think, when you look at East Carolina across the board. They ran the ball, but, you know, particularly they ran the ball when they had to. They didn't play particularly well in the third quarter, had the blocked punt. That turned the momentum of the game around. But still, they came back that nine-minute drive to score the touchdown, even though they couldn't punch it into the red zone until they ran the junk play when they had Ryan Daugherty run in from the field goal from the holder position. But at the same time, again, that was good stuff. I mean, watching East Carolina march the ball down the field, burned that 9 minutes off the clock.
9 minutes.
That was unbelievable.
You got to love it. Now, and as well as the tandem, as you just said.
The Brandon tandem.
They were beginning to punish some people out there. I saw a couple of DBs take it on the chin. I mean, they were lowering the shoulder after the run, and that's pretty good. That's pretty good testament.
James Pinckney tonight, 17 for 30, 7 different receivers. We did not see Andre Allison. I don't think he was dressed tonight.
No, I didn't see him at all.
Jamar Bryant also not in the game tonight. A little rumor surfacing last night that Jamar Bryant might have a broken thumb and could be out for 2 to 4 weeks. I don't know if it's true or not. I don't know if Coach will speak to that in his press conference when we have it here in a few minutes. But we did not see him tonight. But 7 different receivers caught the ball tonight. Bobby Good with 5 catches, over 100 yards, 102 yards. And then we saw, interestingly, the second leading receiver tonight, the fullback, Court Shankweiler.
Court caught a couple of passes.
Three, actually, 18 yeah. yards. Jay Sunhalter and Kevin Roach, 2 catches each. Brandon Simmons with 2 catches. Philip Henry with 1. Brandon Fractious, 2. And J.J. Milbrook. Who was that masked man? Number 88. He caught one as well. And so East Carolina with 7 different receivers tonight. Again, 227 yards passing. And it was just good stuff all the way. No turnovers tonight. The only real mar, I think, you're going to have to look at the special teams and say you can't give very high marks to the kicking game tonight, although a couple of good punts tonight in the ball game, but 1 block punt tonight and 2 missed field goals that, you know, you get the feeling Robert Lee wouldn't have missed those last year.
You would think all coaches say you got to win at least 2 out of the 3 entities on the field. You got to either win the special teams, defense, or the offensive matchup. I mean, today we won the offensive defense, the special teams.
Probably did not win the special teams. That's a concern. I think Robert Lee missing those 2 field goals is a concern, and the block punt was a concern.
Well, what scares me is Simon Jones, ex Pirate as well, was watching the game with me, and he called. He said, "We're getting a lot of pressure up the middle, Snoop. You better watch it." And here you go, it's a block punt.
Yeah.
So, you know, a little predictable.
We will have Coach Skip Holtz with us in a couple of minutes. Let's get caught up on some scores right now. Trent McGee is following things at the Bud Light scoreboard right now, and there's a couple of interesting games underway. Georgia Tech coming from behind tonight, and we'll find out if they were able to come back after Maryland had them down big. Also, there's a couple of things on the upset watch right now. We are watching the Tennessee-Georgia game, and the big game in Conference USA we're still watching is UAB and Memphis, which could have some postseason bearings for East Carolina as well. Let's go to the Bud Light scoreboard. Here is Trent McGee with an update on what's going on in other games in college football. Trent?
And we'll leave with that game right now, guys. UAB up 35-29, 5:16 to go in the fourth quarter, rather, that game. in Conference USA. These games are finals from today. A stunner in the SEC. Arkansas beat number 2 Auburn 27-10. The Razorbacks are 3-0 in the SEC. Number 1 Ohio State beat Bowling Green 35-7. Buckeyes move to 6-0 on the year. USC got another big game from John David Booty. The Trojans beat Washington 26-20. Number 15 Clemson came back from 14 down to hand Wake Forest. Their first loss of the season, 27-17. Number 4 West Virginia moved to 5-0. The Mountaineers beat Mississippi State 42-14. Notre Dame 31, Stanford 10. The Irish are 5-1 on the year. Number 19, Iowa all over Purdue, 47-17. At the Orange Bowl, Miami took care of Carolina, 27-7. Heels fall to 0-3 now in the ACC. And Army moved to 500 on the season after a 62-7 thrashing of VMI. We'll have more scores for you as the Bud Light postgame show rolls on. Back to Henry and Sue.
All right, and I watched that Clemson-Wake Forest game this afternoon. Wake Forest beat them. They beat them up and down the field. Bizarre turn of events. Did you see the fumble into the Clemson, the defensive end's hands?
Can you believe that?
On it, you talk about a bad special teams play.
Oh, tell me about that, it. They gave that game away.
That turned that game around.
Oh, yeah.
All right, we're going to take some phone calls from you tonight, 355-8822. It's our Bud Light postgame show. 35,541 unofficially in the stands tonight to watch East Carolina beat Virginia. 31-21 the final. You're on the Talk 1070 postgame show brought to you by Bud Light. We will take a break, and when we come back, if you want to get in with your comments on tonight's game, give us a call. 355-8822. Snoop and I will be back with more. We'll also have Coach Holtz and his press conference coming up as well. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
For dove, duck, and deer, firearms, decoys, apparel, deer stands, duck calls, duck lines, you name it, Overton's has it. Overton's, your premier sports store, 111 Red Banks Road, Greenville.
Man, I'm so ready for Pirate football.
I know, I can't wait till game time.
Oh man, speaking of time, I gotta get to class.
Dowdy Ficklin Stadium this Saturday at 6 p.m. as ECU takes on the Virginia Cavaliers. Visit ECUPirates.com or call 1-800-DIAL-ECU for tickets.
Yep, must be time for Pirate football.
Buying a car has come a long way, all the way to Brown & Wood. Get a 2006 Canyon for only $199 a month, or a 2006 Vibe for only $199 a month. We have over 25 new 07 Yukons in stock, and over 90 07 GMC trucks to choose from, with discounts up to $7,000 on select vehicles. Get the best selection and savings. Come see our 2006 Cadillac CTS, with payments as low as $299 a month. Brown & Wood, Pontiac Cadillac Buick GMC, Greenville Boulevard in Greenville. 70 years of satisfied customers can't be wrong.
At Ron Ayers Motorsports, you can turn your dreams into reality without busting your budget. Make the right choice. Choose a Honda from cruisers, street bikes, sport bikes, gold wings, and custom builds to dirt bikes and ATVs. We've got it all. Honda at Ron Ayers Motorsports. The fun starts here. Ron Ayers Motorsports.
Taylor Properties is now leasing first-class retail and office space in Greenville. The center on the corner of Evans Street and Arlington Boulevard is available now, and the visibility of this location can't be beat. Check out this large space at Regency Office Park off of Evans Street. Office suites are also available at Clifton Professional Office Park, located off of Arlington and Evans Street. And offices on 10th Street are now available for sale or rent. These office locations are sure to enhance your business. Contact Taylor Properties at 754-1988.
Low overhead equals low prices at Bobby Murray Toyota.
It's Toyota time.
The nationwide clearance event. Awesome Tundra trucks with discounts up to $8,000. 0% interest for 16 months. Get the tough, durable Tundra that you want today. Our lower overhead equals the lowest prices in Eastern Carolina. The lowest payments, the lowest prices. Cash back to you up to $4,000. Come see the all-new 2007 Camry, FJ Cruiser, and Yaris at the Heart of Rocky Mountain. Bobby Murray Toyota.
Okay, we are back. It's our Bud Light Pirate postgame show. Henry Hinton and Tabari Snoot Wallace with you in the studio tonight, and we're following a couple of interesting stories. Alabama has just scored with about 4 minutes left to go in that game with Duke. Up until just a moment ago, it was Alabama 16, Duke 14, but now Alabama has scored a touchdown, an extra point, and now they now lead Duke 23-14. Will the real Duke please stand up? Was this the first? Oh, this might be the best effort they've made all year.
You got that right.
They're going to lose it, but they still holding Alabama. Alabama must have been sleepwalking or something in that game down in Tuscaloosa until just now, because that was a very close game until just moments ago. Alabama has just scored. So
somebody's working magic over in the middle part of the state, you know, because if you can remember, State beat Florida State this week.
Yeah.
And so something's going on. Somebody must have Pied Piper or something.
Well, whatever dust that got sprinkled must have got left out of Orange County.
No, that's true.
Chapel Hill didn't get any of it today against Miami.
355-8822,
355-8822 is our phone call. If you tried to call a moment ago and you got a recording, try again. We had some phone issues and we got on the air here, but we think we got all that settled tonight. And so we think we are okay for calls now at 355-8822. A couple of interesting points about the ball game tonight. Skip Holtz, very happy, if you didn't hear his comments, with his offensive line tonight and his defensive front seven. I think he felt like that East Carolina won the ball game tonight in the trenches, even though James Pinckney looked sharp most of the night, threw a couple of interesting passes that I didn't really understand. But for the most part, I thought Pinckney played well. But in all honesty, the offensive line and the defensive front seven won the ball game tonight. And they challenged those guys to get the running game put together. They have got a running game now, and that's got to bode well as they head into conference play here in the next couple of weeks when they got Tulsa coming to town on Saturday next week for a 3 o'clock game at Dowdy-Ficklin Stadium and then SMU the next week. We got phone calls coming. Where are we going, Trent? Still some phone troubles? Or are we okay? Call us at 355-8822 if you want to get in tonight. Again, James Pinckney, 17 of 30, 223 yards passing the ball tonight. He has seven different receivers. Brandon Fractious, 19 carries, 104 yards tonight. And it was an ACC crew, and I thought I thought for the most part it was a well-played game. Again, there were not a lot of penalties. There were no turnovers in the game for either team. The only real marred problem for East Carolina was the block punt, but I've got to point out the ball spots from the ACC.
Oh my goodness! The ball spots and the phantom personal fouls.
There were two phantom personal fouls.
Who was called on either side? So
in the first quarter, the personal foul that was called on the Virginia player for hitting James Pinckney. I know that the Virginia coaches are going to go back and look at the tape.
He was not out of bounds.
They were going to look at the tape on that and say,
what was the personal foul?
Yeah, what was the personal foul? The guy's running down the sideline, and we hit him and knocked him out of bounds.
That's right. He was not out of bounds. Apparently, the referee assumed he was out of bounds or had stepped out of bounds, and Virginia player just laid a lick, but he was not out of bounds.
And then, later on in the second period, the makeup call.
Oh, the makeup call, yeah.
As they called a personal foul on East Carolina as well.
And that was found nowhere close. I mean, I don't see where that one even came from.
So interesting stuff.
Yeah, very interesting.
Interesting stuff. But at any rate, East Carolina was able to really get the running game going tonight. You know, what did you think of using the fullback the way they did tonight? We saw Court Shankweiler and Dosh in the game more and more tonight. And East Carolina obviously working their their running game now changing it up. I mean, at times tonight we even saw an I formation.
Yeah.
The old fullback and the tailback, in the old days.
Shades of Joe Gibbs.
Yeah, exactly.
All the critics before, a couple of weeks ago was all on East Carolina coaching staff stating that they were too predictable. Well, I guess Coach Skip just came out and said, we'll show them, and he just added a little tweak to it. And then he not only ran the fullbacks, but he got them into the flats and threw the balls.
All right, let's take some phone calls from you folks out there. Now, give us a call tonight. We're going to have Coach Holtz's press conference here in a couple of minutes, but to hear his comments after the game. But our lines are open, 355-8822. Kevin is online, too. Is this Kevin Monroe?
Kevin Monroe.
Okay.
Hey,
Kevin Monroe, who is doing the game tonight on the sideline for the Pirate ISP Network. And, Kevin, a huge win for East Carolina tonight. Your perspective.
Oh, I tell you what, it was very huge. And you think about all the years that we've kind of built this program, put the foundation down. I interviewed Pat Dye at halftime. And, back in the 70s when he was coaching, we played these ACC schools all the time, the Carolinas and the States. And these days, we don't get a chance to play them as much. And so to be able to come out and play a Virginia at home in front of a pretty good crowd, it was just great. I thought the ball game was awesome, especially in the first half. The Pirates came out and really put points on the board. We're moving the ball at will offensively, and Virginia could not do anything on offense. And then in the third quarter, we kind of sat back. I don't know if we were, felt like we had the game won, but you get the block kick. Then all of a sudden, they're moving the football. We can't move the football. Third quarter was not good at all, but then they turned it back around there in the fourth quarter, and that nine-minute drive was just one of the best drives that I've seen here in a long, long time. And the end with that fade field goal was just awesome. The game was well played. I would like for Virginia not to score that last touchdown, and I had a little bigger margin, but hey, a win's a win.
Win's a win. Kevin, how much talk was there tonight on the sidelines? If any, and I don't know if you picked up anything in the locker room after the game. It almost looked like you could take the first four games for East Carolina, their offense, and throw it out. And because they didn't have Allison, they didn't have Chris Johnson, they went back and almost redesigned the offense tonight to go with three wide outs instead of five, because we've been flooding five on third down for most of the year. We certainly did against Memphis and West Virginia. Tonight, we almost never saw five wide outs because they went to that maximum protection with the fullback and the running back beside Pinckney back there. And also, we saw a fullback in the game most of the night tonight. It looked like an almost new deep offense to me tonight.
No, it was. There's two reasons to do that. First of all, you have to compensate for the injuries. Like you talked about with Chris Johnson being down, Andre Allison being down, you want to simplify things. And James Payne can still make it happen, but when you have to play guys that maybe aren't playing as much, Simmons, guys like that, you want to make the offense pretty simple, line up, run down their throats, drop back in the passing game, only have two or three wide receivers in the pattern, and just make it easy. And the other reason is you want to get this kind of stuff on film. Now, when Tulsa watches this on film, they can't rely on us to go in three, four wide receiver sets with one back. They see now we'll run the eye, we'll do a couple different things. We'll throw to the fullback, we'll hand it off to the fullback. A lot of things that they hadn't seen that we'll do before. Now they got to respect that.
Well, coaches get criticized so much, and people in the stands yell such stupid things sometimes. But I got to tell you, if the game ball tonight ought to go to the coaching staff, particularly the offensive coaching staff, the defensive coaching staff maybe as well, because they had the guys so well prepared. But we were sitting here 2 weeks ago after the West Virginia game listening to Skip Holtz. He was very frustrated. You might remember his comment. We're going to have to start winning 10-3 if we can't get a running game going. They were not able to run the ball in the red zone. And tonight, it was a totally different approach, a totally different scheme. So you've got to tip your hat to the coaching staff.
Oh, the coaching staff did a great job, especially, the offensive line, the push they were getting up front. I mean, these guys from Virginia, though they're young, they're still big and strong. And we were pushing them around like it was nothing. And the running backs were actually hitting the holes and playing well. And I give a lot of that to the Simmons kid, because he plays with so much excitement and runs so hard that he made Fractious play tough. Because, he scored the first touchdown, and all of a sudden a light turned on, and all of a sudden Brandon Fractious started playing really, really well. And so you got to give it to those guys, the offensive line, those running backs, and the offensive coaches really put together a good scheme for that running game.
All right, Kevin, any other thoughts before we let you go? Great job tonight on the sideline. I was able to listen to you a little bit doing the game, and as always, great perspective doing the game for the Pirate ISP Network on the sideline.
Really, I just want to, well, thank you, but I want to reach out to the fans and just say, you know, I know they like to come for the ACC games and, you know, see those teams come in town, but this Tulsa team is better than this Virginia team that we just played, and we need, you know, we need 40,000 plus. So don't sit back and think, hey, it's not going to be a big game, because that's a huge game. To get us on top of the conference, we stay standing. We need to pack the house next week.
Yeah, and since we gave the game ball to the coaches, maybe we need to give the dunce cap to all the weather forecasters.
They even messed me up because I didn't have my tailgate set up and it was going to rain.
Exactly. It was one of the best nights we've had in years for football.
It was.
It was a beautiful night for football. All we've heard since Thursday was it was going to be raining all day on Saturday. We didn't get a drop of rain tonight. So that was,
and Cam, I always look forward to your tailgate, buddy. So you make sure.
All right, Kevin, thank you very much.
All right, guys.
Kevin Monroe, we got folks waiting online. I think John has been waiting on line three for quite a while. Let's go to John at 355-8822 if you want to get on tonight. John, you're on the air. How you doing?
Hey, Henry, how you doing?
Good. How are you, sir?
All right. I got a couple things. What a running game. That makes a great difference in the game. Second thing was kudos to the Virginia wide receivers for dropping the ball.
Yeah, they did drop a lot of key passes. They sure did.
But the third thing, I didn't know if you noticed or not, but you know, in the change of possession, the referee would start the clock and the play clock. ECU would be on the field, but the umpire would stand over the ball and wait for the defense to get on the field.
I did notice that one time.
He did.
Yeah.
And I hope Skip will address that. I noticed it three different occasions, but you know, we got responsibility to get on the field, and so does the defense. And I thought that.
No, we don't play. We don't play, but one more ACC school in regular play this year, and that's NC State, and we played there, so we'll have the Conference USA officials. So.
All right, guys. Great show. Good guys. Talk to you. Get them next week.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much. Appreciate the call, John. Are we going to Larry, or are we on one? Larry on one's been waiting a long time. Larry, you're on the air. Go ahead. Larry on one, you with us? Larry, are you with us? All right, let's go to line two. Larry, call us back. I think we made you wait too long. We got Melvin on line two. Melvin, you're on the Bud Light postgame show. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How y'all doing?
Doing fine.
All right.
Okay, I had a question. Michael Hickman, he's on the squad too, right?
Yeah, the kid from D.H. Conley?
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think it would be a good look for them to move him around as far as what position they put him in, because I don't think he gets enough playing time to actually expose his talent and whatnot, you know what I mean?
Well, we were hearing this week in practice that he was getting a lot of carries in practice, and I think if you had not seen Simmons and or Fractious be effective as they were tonight, I think you might have seen Hickman on the field tonight. So don't give up on. He's young, isn't he?
Yeah, very.
So he's going to get some carries. He's going to play, I think.
Okay, who's that sitting beside you?
Snoop.
Now, who would you say?
That's sitting beside you.
You talking about Snoop?
How you doing, boss man?
I'm doing pretty good. From Newbern.
Oh, yes, sir.
Yeah, I remember your face. Honestly, I can't remember your name, but the face is still familiar.
Yeah, it's Barney.
Everybody knows Snoop. Come on, man. All right, man. Good to hear from you.
All right, y'all be good.
All right. 355-8822, Snoop Wallace, Henry Hinton, and Trent McGee on the Bud Light postgame show. Let's go to Amy on line one. Amy, you're on the Bud Light postgame show. How you doing?
Good.
What's up tonight?
I just wanted to ask, actually I just wanted their comment, Henry and Snoop's comment on the kicking game on Robert Lee.
Yeah, we talked about that a little bit earlier. I don't know. You know, he is not. He was money last year.
Yes, he was.
But he struggled a little bit in earlier games this year, and he has not been as effective. I don't know. It's like a 6-foot putt. You know, sometimes that hole looks big, and sometimes it doesn't. And when he missed that first one to hit the crossbar tonight.
Yeah.
The upright tonight, that was a 40-yarder, but the other one was a chip shot.
It was a chip, and it kind of
saw some pride.
Wide left.
Yeah, it just seemed like it was much better last year.
Yeah.
Agreed on that, Amy. Agreed. I have a feeling they may address that this week.
And the kicker's life, let me tell you, it's a topsy-turvy world for a kicker. You can be on top of the world one day, and then you turn right around and just miss one, you know. You know, just like the old saying, you can get a million ahas, but it takes a to knock you off balance. Yeah. So just one. So,
Robert's struggling a little bit. I don't think it had anything to do with East Carolina going for the the fake at the in the fourth quarter, though, because if you heard Coach Holtz a minute ago, he said that he had decided to throw the pass on third down, and if we didn't convert the third down, that we were going to fake the field goal and try to score on fourth down. So he had already made that decision. I don't think it had anything to do with Robert's performance tonight.
Yeah.
I think he wanted that touchdown. He wanted to score 7 points.
He wanted to score is what it was.
That moment he had scored a point in the second half. I think he wanted to get a touchdown. All right, Amy, good call. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Nice talking to you. 355-8822 on the Bud Light Post Game Show. A lot of calls coming in now. And John is with us on line three. John, how you doing? Line three, John, go ahead.
Hey, Henry, how you doing?
Doing good. Hope you are.
Yes, sir. That was a great game tonight. The only thing I was disappointed in is when we had that 9-minute drive and we got down there on the 1.5-yard line, first and goal, and couldn't punch it in, running the ball. I mean, that was disappointing.
Yeah.
Well, we had two drives tonight. We got in the red zone where we got great push and moved them out of the way. One of them, I think, was I talked about this. It was the setup by the option.
Yeah.
And so you got to give the coaching staff a lot of credit for putting in some new stuff tonight in the red zone that helped East Carolina get into the end zone. But still, you're right. I mean, when you're down inside the five, and we had the first down. Remember? On that drive, we had first and goal from the 2-yard line and did not get it in until we faked it to go in. So that was one of the few frustrations of the evening. I agree with you, John.
Yeah, that fake field goal made up for it, though. Remind me of Logan at Southern Miss about 2 years ago.
Oh yeah. Somebody up in my seat, somebody where I was sitting, said it looked like the son had learned something from the father. It looked like a Lou Holtz deal.
You guys have a good night.
All right, see you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, John. 355-8822. Let's get another break in. It's our Bud Light postgame show. We will take a break and come back. When we return, we're going to hear from Skip Holtz. He has just addressed the media. We have it on tape, and we're going to play it for you when we come back. More Bud Light postgame show here on Talk 1070. The flagship station of the Pirates.
Well, it's finally here, and it's time to trade in your vehicle for a brand new Volkswagen from Joe Pacelis in Greenville. Volkswagen offers several models that get at least 30 miles to the gallon, and you can save big on the entire Volkswagen line right now. The 06 Jetta Diesel can travel 609 miles on just one tank. Come by and test drive the all-new Jetta Diesel and enjoy both the ride and the 42 miles per gallon. Lease the 06 Value Edition Jetta for just $209 a month. That's right, the popular Jetta is now just $209 per month. Just sign and drive. Put the top down and enjoy the weather in the stylish Volkswagen new Beetle convertible. Lease the 06 new Beetle convertible for just $249 a month. Just sign and drive. Choose yours with no down payment and no security deposit. All you pay is tax, tags, and dock fee. Joe Pacelis Volkswagen, Evans Street across from Target in Greenville. These payments are good through October 3rd. See dealer for details.
Patrick, did you ever take your car to AAMCO like I told you?
I sure did, Big Hand. It turned out to be the transmission. They serviced it. Now that puppy, she's running as good as new.
I knew it was going to be the transmission. It's a good thing you took it there. You know, AAMCO can service just about anything dealing with your vehicle, but it's the place to go for transmission service.
You're not kidding. With all the lights, the bells, the whistles on my dashboard, I just can't trust the work to anyone.
Yeah, transmissions these days are more complex than ever. If you don't have the proper equipment, you just can't diagnose the problem correctly. AAMCO has certified technicians and all the latest equipment that'll give you an honest and accurate diagnosis the first time you take your car.
Well, all I know is they fixed me right up. The P-Man's ride's running smoothly. You and I were going on a cruise, Big Hen.
Cruising with you?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Come on, Big Hen, let's go.
No.
For complete car care, take your vehicle to the local award-winning AAMCO Transmissions on Memorial Drive in Winterville. They'll take good care of you.
I'm going to do the horn.
All right, here we go. AAMCO AA MCO.
Football fan, satisfy your pirate taste for seafood with the ultimate in tailgate dining. The Low Country Boil Seafood Pail is now available at the Butcher Seafood Market, Fire Tower Road in Greenville. Made fresh for your tailgating party or backyard barbecue. The Low Country Boil Seafood Pail includes shrimp, crab legs, little neck clam, sausage, new potatoes, corn on the cob, sweet onions, lemons, butter, and butcher's special cocktail sauce. All in a handy disposable pail that will make cooking and cleanup a breeze. All you need is the gas burner and a huge appetite. Each pail feeds a hungry team of six. At the Butcher Seafood Market, you'll find all your favorites, including fresh ocean shrimp, clams, grouper, tuna, and mahi. Cut to order, choice, and prime steak. Steamed shrimp and crab are also available for takeout. Score a touchdown at your next tailgate party with the Low Country Boil Seafood Pail. Order yours today. Call the Butcher Seafood Market at 321-0104. That's 321-0104.
Game show, going to the press conference tape with Coach Holtz in just a moment. Our Jonathan Edwards, the senator, out tonight and talking with the media and getting the comments from Coach Skip Holtz. We're going to play that in a minute. Do we have Denny first? Denny O'Brien was going to be with us by phone. I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll go to the comments of Coach Holtz, and then we'll get Denny O'Brien on the phone, and then if you've got more comments, we'll take some more phone calls from you here on the Bud Light postgame show. Skip Holtz meeting with the media after the 31-21 win over Virginia, and obviously happy tonight. Let's go to the tape. Here's Coach Holtz from just a few moments ago.
For the program, really great win for the program. It's a great win for the season. It's a great win for this football team. We put a lot of pressure on these players in the last 2 weeks. We talked about going back to basics, talked about trying to take the off week to say what's broke, what do we need to be able to do better, and we need to go back to basics. We went back and we had an extremely physical couple days last week in the open day. We put them in full pads on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and we went pretty much every day like a spring practice, going against each other an awful lot, going live, hitting, and everything. We just felt like we needed to get back to the basics with a running game. And I couldn't be more proud of these players, the way that they played. As I told them beforehand, coaches don't win football games, players do. And this is one that needs to be celebrated by these players. It's one that they went out there on the field and got it done. We always talk about eliminating the mistakes, and I thought that boy, some guys really stepped up tonight with some key injuries, especially on the offensive side of the ball. We had talked about earlier in the season, we lost Shante Hunt, Brandon Setzer, Orlando Farrow, and a lot of guys on defense, and a lot of these young guys have stepped up. And we talked about Jay Ross and Scotty Robinson and C.J. Wilson and a lot of freshmen that have had to play and have done a great job. The challenge for us this week was with Andre Allison out with the ankle, with Chris Johnson out, with Dominique Lindsay already being out, it kind of made us a little bit light, with Jamar Bryant being out with his thumb. Jamar Bryant did some ligament damage to his thumb. He was out. Andre Allison was out. We really challenged Bobby Good and Kevin Roach and Steven Rogers and Philip Henry. I thought Bobby Good stood up to the challenge, and I thought he was awesome tonight. He was fun to watch play. He played with a spirit, enthusiasm. We finally caught a punt. Which was a thing of beauty to see. We finally caught a punt and got something going from that standpoint, but couldn't be more proud of the play of Bobby Good, the play of Brandon Fractious at the running back position. We challenged Brandon Fractious and Brandon Simmons. Thought they both went out there and they did some really good things. I was just really proud of the way they played. And this is a game that a bunch of guys stepped up and took control of their opportunities and made the most of them. Just really proud of this football team right now. Thought our defense played excellent. You know, they give up 21 points. One of them is a two-play drive on a short field on the block punt, which is, we get that straight on Sunday. Tomorrow, which is inexcusable to have a punt blocked. Defense gave up that, and they gave one right up at the end. Other than that, I thought our defense played a great football game tonight. Made them punt 8 times, and really only gave up one long drive of significance there that went for a touchdown.
Talk about that last drive offensively.
Unbelievable. Went over 9 minutes, they tell me. We started milking the clock a little bit. Gotten two backs, ran downhill. Told the offensive line we wanted to win. We were going to have to be able to run the ball. We were kind of going hit or miss in the second half there. We went 3 and out. Then we put a long drive together, missed the field goal. Then we went 3 and out a second time. And we started challenging them a little bit about what they had to do. And they took that ball in the second half and controlled it for 9 minutes, went all the way down the field. Wasn't about to settle for a field goal. We had driven down the field twice in this game, missed field goals, and I wasn't going to let that drive. I was going to miss a fake field goal before I was going to kick a field goal. We threw it on third down with the understanding I threw it on third down and called a pass there. I really made a dumb call on first and goal when it was a first down trying to throw the ball. I should have just powered it in. Instead, wasn't able to do it. I tried to throw a play action pass. Then we had second down. Third down, I threw it knowing that I was going to run the fake field goal on fourth down. I knew I was going to run it on third, and that's why we went ahead and threw the ball. If we didn't get it in, we're going to run the fake.
When did you make that decision?
On the fake? Well, I wanted to call it on the first field goal we missed, and I got mad at myself when he missed it. Then I wanted to call it on the second field goal we missed, and then I got mad at myself for missing it. I told myself I didn't have any courage because I wasn't willing to call a fake field goal. And so that last one, on third down, there was a timeout. They came over, receivers came over, Bobby Good told me he can beat him on the corner. I said, well, if I throw it on third to myself, if I throw it on third, I'm running the fake. So before the timeout between second and third down was when we decided to run the fake field goal. On fourth down, had we not thrown the touchdown pass?
You must have an upset perception-wise, Coach, when the nation sees that ECU beats Virginia. What does that do?
It's a huge win for the program. That's why I said, that's why I talked about it. It's a huge win for our program. It's a huge win for the season to get a W. But you know what? These players have been close. You know, they have been close, and we get in. We lined up and played with West Virginia. We just turned the ball over too many times and didn't make the most of our opportunities. We played with Navy, didn't turn the ball over, didn't make the most of our opportunities. Tonight, we didn't turn the ball over, and we made the most of our opportunities. I mean, I really thought some guys stood up, made some great plays for us tonight. But this is huge. You look at a program like Virginia, and you look at Coach Groh. I know they're going through some growing pains at quarterback, playing with a young quarterback right now. But for us, this is huge. This is a big win.
In the first half, you guys made three rushing touchdowns to move the ball, your line open holes. Was that about as consistent offensively as you played this year?
Yeah, I thought first half they played very, very well. I was really frustrated after we went 3 and out in the first series. But after that, I really thought we kind of got in a little bit of a rhythm. We got some timing. We started gelling a little bit. And I thought James really did a great job of managing this football game. I didn't ask him to stand in the pocket and throw the ball all over the yard. I talked all week about the confusion that they've given in the secondary, all the different coverages. Same thing tonight. They never ran two of the same coverages in a row. Kept you guessing and trying to attack what they were doing. I said we were going to worry about what we were doing and wanted James to be good with the ball. If it's not there, punt it away. Second and long, run a draw. Third and long, run a screen. If you don't make it, punt it away. Make him drive 80 yards to beat our defense. That was the whole mindset going in. But really proud of the way the offensive line played. The offensive line, the running game, I thought was excellent.
Coach, Simmons gave you that physical edge in the running game, it seemed like, at least at times.
He did.
Can you just talk about kind of how you use the rotation between Fractious and Simmons, the two Brandons, without having Chris tonight?
Well, we talked about the opportunity that they were going to get, talked about the opportunity that they were going to have to stand up. I made Brandon Simmons stand up in the team meeting this afternoon. I made him stand up and told him that he was going to be held accountable to everybody on the team and that he had to step up and he was going to get his opportunity today. And he had the biggest grin on his face from ear to ear, like, this is what I've been waiting for. It's what you want to see as a coach. He wasn't nervous. He was excited. And I just, I thought he brought something to us tonight. He brought a physical nature. He didn't fall backwards. When he hit, when there was a collision, he was normally the one going forward. And that's one of the things that we've lacked. We get arm tackled, slung down, going backwards. When he gets into contact, he's going to lower his shoulder and push that thing north and south. Really proud of them, really proud of both them and Brandon. And there wasn't really a rotation. It was Brandon's day. It was Brandon Fraxius' day. He's come to see me about five times about what does he need to do to get more of an opportunity. And I told him he's got to hold on to the ball and be patient. His opportunity will come. Today was his opportunity, and I thought he made the most of it.
Coach, you talked about the, your offensive play. You had 2 weeks to put it together, and without your big wide receiver and your tailbacks, you really did a lot of different things. They were stopping you inside early, so you ran some of the single wing stuff to the outside, and that opened up the middle for you. You ran screen passes, you ran a screen off the screen, and you threw the ball to the tight end. It seemed like it was a really well-executed game plan. How much did you put in over that 2 weeks, or is that all stuff you usually have in practice?
No, really, we didn't. I'm trying to think of anything. We didn't add anything, really. And the way this, the good and bad of this offense is you can pretty much do anything out of anything. That's the good part of this offense. The bad part of this offense is you can do anything out of anything. So you really can get into too much stuff that's confusing. I think these players are starting to understand how it all fits together. And you can plug a formation and a tag that makes everything fit. So we really didn't add anything, and we didn't start putting this game plan together till Thursday. I said, you know what, I don't care right now about Virginia on Tuesday, Wednesday. I want to worry about us. And we spent all that time last week of the open date watching our cut-ups, watching us run the ball, watching us block, watching we evaluated ourselves in every aspect. We watched the game film. We watched the cut-up. We went through all that. And then on Thursday, we started getting ready for Virginia. When we had the injuries, all of a sudden to Andre Allison and to Jamar Bryant, knowing that they weren't going to play, that's when it became a little bit more of, you know what, let's get in two backs, let's try and pound the ball a little bit, let's try and get a running game going. If we can't, we can always spread the thing back out and put a saddle on James and, you know, put the ball in his hand with four and five wides being spread out everywhere. But this game was about we were going to come out here and try and give our offensive line to an opportunity to establish the running game, and they did that.
Coach, you said these were gauge games.
Yes. I mean, we'll have to go back and look at the film with it, but I was really impressed with the way that we played our front sevens. You know, and I talked about these are going to be great chances for us to evaluate where we are as a program. I think Virginia is playing a lot of young players right now on the offensive side of the ball, and we're playing a lot of young players on the defensive side. But I was really pleased with the way we played up front on both sides of the ball, and I think it's going to take this kind of effort against a team like Tulsa next week. You know, I mean, I think Tulsa's an excellent football team, but at the end of the season, I'll probably sit back and evaluate it a whole lot more. I know I kind of want to enjoy this one, but I'm really pleased with how these players play. Just like I said, I'd love to sit up here and take credit, but I didn't throw a pass, I didn't catch a ball, I didn't make a tackle, and I didn't make a block. These players deserve a lot of credit for this win because they went out there. Enough was enough. Enough was enough, and I'm hoping the West Virginia was the eye-opener that made him say, enough's enough, let's get done what we got to get done, and let's go win a football game.
Coach, you kind of downplayed it earlier as far as the importance of this game as a momentum builder for the bulk of your conference schedule. Now that it's passed and you did win, talk about that.
About how this... Give me that one more time.
Build momentum.
Building momentum in the conference. Yeah, it was big. We needed a win. There's no doubt we needed a win. We were 1-3. We'd been close. Everybody's tired of being close, you know. And I wrote up on the board again. I ended my meeting with, I said, in 7 hours from now, I met with them 4 hours before kickoff. And I said, 7 hours from now, we're going to be 1-4. We're going to be 2-3, predicated on what we do. The choice is ours. We're either going to go out and execute and follow this plan and be able to establish a run and stiffen up our backs on defense. We're going to be 2-3, but we're going to let them come in and dictate the table, and we're going to be 1-4. It was huge. We needed it. We needed it from a momentum standpoint. We needed it from a confidence standpoint. Because after you lose three close games like we did, it's tough to keep coming back each and every week. But that's the one thing that this team has always done is they've got a lunch pail type mentality. They got a blue collar approach, and they come in and work hard.
You talk about James, that high snap there in goal line. He turns back to the line of scrimmage, somehow has the hand to get it, turns around. I don't know what the play was, I'm sure you do, but I guess it probably...
Apollo even, but not that that would mean anything. It was Riff Apollo even.
Apollo even, is that a pass?
That was the play, yes. It was designed to be a pass ball.
Coach,
Yes, sir.
Just talk about the play he made.
Huge. When we moved Matt Butler to center, during the open date, we felt like we needed a little more pop at our center position. When you don't have a lot of, when you don't have an anchor at center, he's always front side. You run right, he's front side. You run left, he's front side. We felt like we needed a little more anchor to establish our running game, and we put him in there, and I said the only thing I was concerned about were snaps. We stayed out there after practice last week, this week. Heck, we were taking snaps yesterday for about 30 minutes after our walkthrough. I was concerned about the snaps because they were on the ground an awful lot last week. Where that ball went high, James jumped up, turned, like you said, turned his back, went running for it, and then took off running. I thought he made some really, really key decisions today that made a difference in this football game. When it wasn't there, instead of trying to force it to take off running with it, now he just, again, it was a heck of a play. He's a quality player. We had a heck of a day today. Proud of him. Yeah, Corey Dallas, we started a true freshman at left guard. We started a true freshman at left guard, and that's what we had to do to move that Butler in. I have to watch the film. You know, every time it seemed like there's pressure, where'd it come? Left guard. you know you're going to make some mistakes there. But I thought for him to go in and do what he did and run the ball against the team like he did tonight, he really did a nice job.
With the night that Brandon practice had, going over 100 yards, would you think about a change that started running back?
I'll make those decisions later, not tonight.
Coach, did you get a chance to spend any time with Pat Dimes?
No, I didn't. I had an opportunity to see him right before the game, and that was the only opportunity I really had to spend with him.
The fake field goal, was that something you saw in one day too? Was that made in your package?
No, it's something that we have in our – we've got a couple fakes on field goals and a couple fakes on punts. It's just when do you plug them in, you know, when do you plug them in with everything. So I sit down with Donnie Yanowski and I talk to him all the time. Is the fake there? You know, which fake is there? We have a couple of them. This week, this is fake is there. That's the one we practice all week and the one we rep. So, yes and no. We saw something that told us the inside fake was there instead of the passing game fake. Yes, sir.
Marty gives you some options in terms of that play.
Oh, he's awesome. Love him. He really does. Punted the ball great. I don't know what he averaged tonight. What was it?
56.
Jeez, I mean, he just, a lot of options, right? All right, thank you all. Appreciate it. What's up?
All right, that is the comments of Coach Skip Holtz from just a few minutes ago. Jonathan Edwards getting that take for us from the Ward Sports Medicine building a couple minutes ago. And a couple of interesting things that Coach said, back to basics, very physical in preparation this week. Said it was inexcusable to have punt block. Talked about the Brandon tandem, Brandon Simmons and Brandon Fractures. and, of course, the poise of James Pinkney tonight, who had a great night tonight, throwing the football 17 of 30, 224 yards tonight. And he mentioned the punting game tonight. And I need to tell you that was a 72-yard punt was Ryan Doherty's record punt. Let's see, he had three punts on the night for 167 yards. He had a 72-yarder in the first quarter. That's the longest punt at East Carolina since Jared Preston hit a 74-yarder back in November of 2002.
Wow.
For his career now, 203 punts, 8,657 yards. Doherty had six kickoffs for 369 yards, two touchbacks. Doherty was huge tonight. There was not only the that's his second career touchdown on a fake field goal. You might remember he scored one in 2003 against Wake Forest.
Mm-hmm.
So Ryan Doherty came up big tonight. The only thing that in negative from the punting game tonight was the blocked punt. Can't blame Ryan for that. He did his job tonight. But Ryan Doherty was a big ganger tonight for East Carolina.
Yeah, he was. He stepped up. He stepped up when he needed.
No
when
question. We got to get a break in. Denny O'Brien is going to be calling in. We'll also take your calls at 355-8822. It's our Bud Light post-game show on Talk 1070, the flagship station of the Pirates. We'll take a break and come back. Again, if you want to get in, our lines are open, 355-8822. Again, I'm giving the game ball to the coaching staff for having the team prepared and getting that running game going tonight. Great win for East Carolina, 10-point victory over Virginia, 31-21. We'll be back with more of your calls and more of the Bud Light post-game show coming up right after this.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Indecisive Food Orderer Guy.
Mr. Indecisive Food Orderer Guy.
You approach a menu like a CPA approaches an audit. There's not an appetizer, entree, or ingredient that escapes your scrutiny.
What's the soup du jour?
Carpaccio or calamari? Halibut or ceviche? These are incredibly important decisions that need to be made sometime before sunrise. No matter, because when the food finally arrives, you spend the entire dinner wishing you got what everybody else did. Crack open an ice cold Bud Light, Mr. Indecisive Food Orderer Guy, because today's special is you. Bud Light Beer has a bush in Boost, Missouri.
At Green
Dome
Nissan, it's the bottom line here to clear it. With the biggest savings of the year on the entire Nissan line, including the sizzling Nissan 350Z, personal Nissan Pathfinder, and the fuel-efficient Supra. The deals are hotter than ever before while we clear out our remaining inventory. With 1% APR financing available, up to $3,000 in factory rebates, and our $1,000 low price guarantee. Plus, with air-tipping cars that get almost 40 miles per gallon like the all-new Versa, you don't only save when you get your vehicle from Greenville Nissan. You also save at the pump. And bad credit is no problem. Here's the bottom line. Now is the time to get your new Nissan from the number one rated Nissan dealer in the area for 3 years. And you can expect miracles like free oil change, free towing, and free breakfast with every vehicle we sell. Greenville Nissan. Just past the Cracker Barrel on Greenville Boulevard in Greenville.
See Thursday and Sunday's Daily Reflector for details.
I'm with Bill Jenkins of the Clement Companies. And Bill, I know you specialize in employee benefits and life and health insurance. A lot of people may not even realize that the Clement Companies offers those products.
We're an independent agency, and as you say, we do specialize in employee benefits as well as offering life, annuities, long-term care, and disability income products.
And I imagine in this day and environment, health insurance can be a little bit of a challenge, particularly for small businesses.
Certainly. And with new legislation regarding the HSAs or health savings accounts, that's what I spend my time doing, making sure that we're offering the most competitive products for our clients.
And as an independent insurance company here in Eastern North Carolina, here in Greenville, how is the Clement Companies able to offer so much? Because you have a variety of options for people.
The Clement Companies is affiliated with the National Insurance Marketing Organization, offering the most competitive products for our clients.
The Clement Companies, providing property, group, liability, and workers' comp, also Blue Cross and Blue Shield of North Carolina, group and individual benefits for their friends in Eastern North Carolina.
At Impressions Group, fresh ideas are the name of the game. And we should know, we've been creating fresh ideas for the area's leading businesses and healthcare practices since 1996. That's what Impressions Group is all about. But Impressions Group is more than your average ad agency. We're your marketing partner. We're not in business to win awards. We're in business to make your business grow. If your marketing could use a fresh approach, give us a call at 252-355-8345. That's 252-355-8345. Impressions Group, fresh ideas in corporate and healthcare advertising. Talk of the Town with Henry Hinton and Patrick Johnson. Weekday mornings from 6:30 till 9. Only on Talk 1070.
Are we back on Radio Food Trip? Is everything good? TV technical issues. It's been a night for the little bugs in the system here tonight.
Oh.
Snoop Wallace, Henry Hinton, Trent McGee back with you on Talk 1070. We're going to go to Trent for a scoring update in just a couple of minutes. We also have some calls coming in at 355-8822. Right now, though, we're going to go to Pirate Chest editor and Bonesville writer Denny O'Brien, who is watching the game tonight and in the press box tonight. And Denny, I've been saying all night tonight that might be one of the best coaching jobs I've seen at East Carolina in many, many, many years. I'm giving the game ball to the coaching staff tonight for almost completely revamping the offense in the face of some key injuries and no running game and getting ready for this Virginia win and pouring on 430 yards tonight.
Well, Henry, it's funny you mentioned that because one of the things that I've been thinking about was just how great of an offensive game plan East Carolina had tonight. You know, when you watch a team a lot, you can tend to predict what they're going to run in certain situations. But I often found myself tonight at the press box saying they're going to draw right here. and they do something totally different. I thought it was an outstanding offensive game plan. I thought Skip Holtz called an outstanding game, with the exception being when the Pirates had a first and goal from the one very late in the game that they pulled a pass in the very first play. And actually, Coach Holtz actually said that he'd love to have that one back. But I thought it was a great game plan on offense and on defense as well. But it's easy to have a really good game plan on defense when you have a 17-minute time of possession advantage.
Yeah.
Well, you know, if you think about it, going into this season, everybody was so excited about the East Carolina offense because of James Pinckney, Dominic Lindsay, Chris Johnson, Andre Allison. Of those four guys that we mentioned, only one of them showed up to play tonight because the other three are injured to the point that they couldn't suit up tonight. And yet East Carolina with maybe their best offensive performance of the year.
Yeah, and I think it all goes to what happened up front. Matt Butler's move to center, I think, was a huge key in the running game today. And Corey Dallas, the true freshman, getting a start at left guard. I think Virginia did some things for the second half. I think they started blitzing more and got some pressure on James. So the Pirates did struggle a little bit the second half up until that marathon drive they had that iced the game. But you're right, a lot of young players on both sides of the ball for the Pirates. And that just bodes well for the future of this program. I mean, yes, I know that the Pirates lose James Pinckney after this year, but, you know, with all the other pieces pretty much in place, the future is just very bright for this program right now.
Yeah, when the score was 24-7 at halftime, I was thinking, you know, this is good. If East Carolina can come out now and continue this in the third quarter, we'll be able to see Rob Cass play the entire fourth quarter, which would be really good for that young man.
That's right.
I was sorry that the game, you know, we end up getting the block punt and they get the short field and get the score, and that kind of changed the tenor of the game in the second half. Otherwise, we might have been able to see some of the younger guys get in tonight late.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned something about the block punt. This defense really, in my mind, only surrendered one legitimate drive the entire game. And that was the two-play drive that Virginia had in the first half to score a touchdown. That was aided, by the way, by a 15-yard penalty.
Yeah.
But you had the block punt, and that was just a 20-yard drive. I mean, that's not on the defense there at all. And then they had the late touchdown when East Carolina is officially playing previous defense. So
and add to that, Denny, in the first half, the only touchdown they get in the first half is on the gadget play, which East Carolina bit on the reverse. And that was unfortunate because the guy was wide open. But other than that, Virginia may not have gotten any points in the first half.
You're right. And I want to look back to that Memphis game, the second half of that Memphis game, when the Pirates returned to playing their base defense. We've now had 10 solid quarters where the Pirates have just played, you know, I'm not ready to say outstanding defense, but very good defense. I mean, Virginia's not a very good offensive team, but they're starting to improve as that young quarterback gets more snaps. And Jason Snelling, in my mind, is a really good running back who, if I'm Al Rowe, I would try to get that guy 25 to 30 carries a game. So that Pirate defense played very physical again tonight. And talk about physical, those Pirate running backs, Brandon Simmons and Brandon Fraction, very physical, not afraid to mix it up between the tackles. It looked like a very well-rounded victory for the Pirates, and that score is in no way indicative of how resounding East Carolina won that game.
Yeah, Philip Horn has donned them the Brandon tandem, which I think is good. Maybe that's the new thing, the two Brandons there. Before we let you go, what's wrong with Robert Lee? He's not had a great year, has he?
Yeah, you know what? I mean, I think after he had those first two misses in the previous games, I guess it was the Memphis game that he missed two, or at least missed one that game. I think it starts to become a mind game. I think that second field goal he missed, the chip shot, I don't think that was a physical thing. I think it was totally mental, because that's something he normally just drills right through there. I mean, heck, last year he drilled everything through there. So I think right now it's a mental game with him, and I think that's often the case when you have a kicker who misses one kick. They just tend to start happening. So
We need to check and see if he's got a new girlfriend or something this year.
Well, what he's asking is that the Pirates need to give him a chip shot field goal that he can just nail and kind of get his confidence back. Although I'm sure that Skip Holtz just assumed he'd just kick extra points from here on out.
But Ryan Doherty, a big night again tonight, a 72-yard boomer. He three punts for over 172 yards tonight. Great night of punting for Ryan Doherty tonight. And then of course he also gets the touchdown on the gadget play at the end of the game there in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, you know, I knew that the Pirates were a little light at running back, but I didn't think it would come to life.
Didn't think we'd see Ryan Doherty. Hey, you gotta hand it to Brandon Simmons. I mean, 2 weeks ago we were sitting here going, who was that guy?
That's right.
We didn't even know who the guy was, and now the guy's beginning to look like a real stud at running back.
Household name in Pirate Country.
Transferred in from Elizabeth City State and walked on the team. I mean, sounds like a Bonesville column in the making to me, Denny.
Well, I think Coach Holt had a very interesting comment. You know, when Brandon Simmons got tackled, he was usually the guy that was on top, not the guy that was on bottom.
And yeah.
He moved forward, and that touchdown run, I mean, he just exploded through the line on that play.
And yeah.
He's a 6'1", 225-pound kid, but he's not slow. I mean, he's got a nice V8 engine there, and, he's going to get a lot more carry here moving forward. So if I'm Chris Johnson, I start healing myself as quick as possible because you've got two guys right now who have proven they can go out there and get the job done.
Hey, any talk about Andre Allison and Chris Johnson coming back for Tulsa next week?
It's all whatsoever that I heard of, but, you know, I think holding them out looks like a very good idea after the result of that game because this team coming into Greenville next week is a lot better than the team that the Pirates from the loss on the team.
Yeah, no question about that. Tulsa put a whipping on us last year.
And here's something that will make you happy, Henry.
What?
Tulsa will probably be in my top 25.
Hey! Whoa! How about that? After going 4-1, after beating Southern Miss badly this week. Yeah.
A little love for Conference USA from the DOB.
There you go. Well, DOB. All right, Denny, thanks for calling in and great work tonight. Talk to you soon.
All right,
Denny O'Brien on the Bud Light post game show. We got some callers. We still have the caller on one. Let's go to a few more phone calls here. We'll get our last break in. 355-8822 if you want to get in. I'm not sure I want to take this. This is Chap. <On line one. laughs> Chap, are you with us?
Yeah, Henry, that last caller was a little long-winded.
What's up, Chap?
I'm at it for that last caller.
Well, he was Denny is one of our sports team members, so. What you got, Chap?
I hear you. Well, a few comments about the offense tonight. First of all, Chris Johnson needs to have Turco the rest of the year.
You think so?
Well, we look pretty good running the ball tonight. Now, I haven't seen that yet.
You like the Brandon tandem.
I like Brandon Simmons back there. I think Chris Johnson's out for the rest of the year. I don't know what Skip has to say about it.
anything else, Chap? Because we really do have to take a commercial break.
Well, I have a question about the fade pattern. Can you guys comment on the fade pattern with third and two, third goal from the 2-yard line?
Go ahead, Super. Well, usually what you're trying to do is you line everybody up on the opposite side of where you're going to run the fade. So it's a one-on-one coverage, and it's pretty much a jump ball, athlete on athlete. And if you believe that your receiver is better than the DB, you just go ahead and let the two boys go at it, just like a rebounding basketball. So that's what that's about.
You don't like the fade pattern, do you, Chef?
Well, seems to me like we've run that play a lot this year, and it's 0-for-40. So, can I finish?
No, you are finished. You are finished.
I like to see it fucking in. Well, Brandon Pitt.
All right, we got to get a break in. Chap, thanks for the call. 355-8822. When we return, we might have we may have time for a few more phone calls. Give us a call. Get online if you want to call in because we are taking our last break. 355-8822. It's the Bud Light Post Game Show. East Carolina, a 10-point winner over Virginia, 31-21 tonight. We'll be right
back. When we at Suzuki of Greenville began telling you years back to push and pull them or drag them in, and it's worth $2,000 no matter what the condition, well, we weren't exactly correct. Almost everyone got much, much more than that. So come on, Suzuki of Greenville says get all you can. Push it, pull it, or drag it in, and it's worth top dollar no matter what the condition. our deal with the wholesalers allows us to give you more for that old vehicle than any dealer could possibly give. At Suzuki of Greenville, we truly don't care if it's rusted, dusted, or busted. It's worth top dollar on any pre-owned vehicle, no matter what the condition. Remember, every Suzuki Vitara, Forenza, Verona, everything with a Suzuki badge comes equipped with complete peace of mind. A 7-year, 100,000-mile warranty. South Memorial Drive next to Ryan Steakhouse. Greenville Boulevard next to Motel 6. Call 1-800-473-1183. Everyone knows. At Suzuki of Greenville, we make the deal. Other dealers don't.
Hey, Patrick, I know that you were late for work again this morning. What's the deal?
Sorry, Big Hen. Having trouble with my vehicle. Not sure what's wrong with it.
But what are you waiting for? Why don't you get that thing fixed for crying out loud?
Where do I take it? I don't know where I take it.
Well, you know, it could be your transmission. Take it over to AAMCO. You know, they're the transmission experts.
AAMCO. But what if it's not the transmission?
AAMCO, MCO works on much more than transmissions, you bonehead. Our buddy Jack Brubaker and his staff of certified technicians can fix any problem. They perform service on mufflers, exhaust pipes, catalytic converters, AC repair, water pumps, brake repair, rebuilt engines, or just minor tune-ups. Plus, all exhaust system service comes with a lifetime warranty.
Sounds good to me, Big Hen. Where is it?
Please tell me you know that AAMCO is located next to Pitt Community College on Memorial Drive in Winterville.
For complete car care, take your vehicle to the local award-winning AAMCO Transmissions in Winterville.
Mm-hmm.
They'll take good care of you.
Here comes
AAMCO MCO. That's quite a honker.
Thank you very much.
Want to know where to go to watch the big game with a fun atmosphere and great food? Bowley's Fifth Street Pizzeria, Greenville. Bowley's, the place to watch football this season. Featuring 11 televisions with ESPN's College Game Plan and NFL Sunday Ticket. Bowley's also has great specials like half-price appetizers on Sundays and $8 all-you-can-eat wings Mondays. Plus a drink special every night of the week. Voted best pizza in Greenville, Bowley's is serving their famous Chicago-style pizza. Stromboli's, salads, subs, pastas, and appetizers for lunch or dinner. And for late-night cravings, Bowley's stays open until 4 a.m., serving breakfast Tuesday through Saturday. Want to dine in tonight? Bowley's will deliver anything on the menu to your door. Just relax and call 752-B-O-L-I. That's 752-2654 for delivery. Bowley's, 5th Street Pizzeria, on the corner of 5th and Cotan Street in Uptown Greenville, serving Pirate fans for over 15 years.
At Brown & Wood Jeep Mazda, friends and family pricing means you can buy any new Mazda vehicle at or near invoice. Plus, get dealer cash and rebates up to $4,000 on selected Mazda vehicles. Test drive the all-new Mazda CX-7, the SUV you never saw coming. Find Eastern North Carolina's largest selection of Mazdas at Brown & Wood Jeep Mazda. Bad credit, no credit, no problem. Get approved in less than 10 minutes. Brown & Wood Jeep Mazda, family-owned and operated for 70 years. Greenville Boulevard, Greenville.
The Radio Factor with Bill O'Reilly, weekdays from 12 noon till 3. Only on Talk 1070.
Okay, the entire 1070 sports crew working hard for you to bring you coverage of East Carolina and Virginia tonight. East Carolina, the winner, 31-21. We're on the final stretch here. It's our Bud Light postgame show. But we do have time for a few more calls. If you want to get in, the number is 355-8822. Give us a call. Tell us what you think about this win tonight. We've got Myra holding on line one. How you doing, Myra? You're on the Bud Light postgame show. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
Good.
I just wanted to say, I got here late and I just started watching you, but I just think Bobby Good played a heck of a game. Talk about it.
We did talk about it.
I missed it. Is it talk about him again.
Would this possibly be Bobby Good's mother?
Oh. No. Sorry, not.
You know, any kin to him?
No, I'm not.
You just thought he had a
kid. We're going to make signs next week, I tell you that, because he was good to us tonight.
Yeah.
We did
talk about Bobby Good earlier, not only the fact that he was returning the punch tonight, but five catches, 102 yards, one of the best performances of his career, I think. He had a 44-yarder, and I thought he was going to score on that one.
He
may have cut the wrong way.
Rule of thumb in football, never cut back
to where all your trouble is. You got the field, he would have scored.
But he had a great game, and he stepped up big in the absence of Andre Allison tonight. And we had
I had a feeling
Bobby might have a good game tonight. He certainly did. So you're making a good point. Maybe we hadn't talked enough about it, although we did mention it earlier. Thanks.
Well, I was stuck in traffic, so I started watching you late. Right. But he was fantastic, right. And the whole game was great.
Well, next time you're stuck in traffic, remember to turn to 1070 because we're there on radio too. All right, Myra, thank you very much.
You're welcome. All right, Pirates.
Go Pirates. 355-8822 is the number. You're on the Bud Light Post Game Show. We're in the home stretch. If you kind of the last call here, if you want to get in, let's go to David on line two. David, you're on. How you doing?
Hey, how you doing today, man?
Doing good.
All right. I want to talk about Brandon Fractures, and no bias here because he was my former roommate. But how do you guys feel this man's played, man? I mean, I know in light of the fumbles he had last season, man, I think the guy's stepping up.
What do you think, Snoop? Brandon Fractures.
Well, 19 carries, 404 yards, says it all. I mean, we were looking for a running game, and we've been getting criticized a lot for the running game, but it stepped up today. Like the Brandon tandem, and Brandon is one of the Brandon tandem. So I got to say, a great, great job tonight. Great guy.
Yeah, you know, I agree. I think when he's confident, he's as good as we've got.
That's right.
And, you know, I know that but, you know, all of a sudden he's carrying that football like an egg because everybody, including himself, was worried that he was going to fumble it. And I think that probably affected him a little bit. He's got to go ahead and play. He's got to take care of the ball, but he's got to go ahead and play and not worry about fumbling the football, I think. And it looks to me like he's doing that now, and he's being very effective. I think he had a great game tonight. Maybe his best game ever.
Yeah, it's a good game.
All right.
All right, thanks, David.
Thanks, Dave.
355-8822, back to the phones, and Richard on line three. Richard, you're on the Bud Light Postgame Show. How you doing?
Hey, great. How you doing, Henry?
Good. How you doing, Richard?
Not good. I'm joining you late because we had dinner, but I probably need to ask this of Snoop. What is the ruling if, I know they're starting the 25-second clock, or they just start the clock out on the field, but I know a couple times tonight Virginia was pretty slow getting out in the field. The referee's standing over top of the ball and holding the ball, and the clock is over there running. I'm sitting here saying, you know, if we get a playoff, they're not even lined up against us, but they've already started the play clock, and I was wondering what the rule is on that, and I'll hang up and listen to y'all, Henry. Thank you.
Okay. The rule is that when ball is in play, the referee, which is the line judge, supposed to move. He's supposed to move as soon as it's locked in. Okay. All right. Boss man's taking me off here.
Snoop's getting all tangled.
but you actually supposed to, the referee's supposed to move. He's supposed to get on out the way. But a lot of times it's courtesy and grace of the referees. They'll look over to the side and see that the team's not in. And he should have moved. If he would have moved, we could have seized it.
I wonder if it has something to do with the new clock rule.
Yeah, you know, everyone's still getting adjusted.
Because now, after the punt, the clock continues to run.
Yep. Keeps going.
I guess they blow the play in the clock. But still, you know, you got to give the defense time to get out on the field or it's not fair.
Right.
But as you pointed out, Richard, that's the second call we've had on that tonight. A couple of times tonight looked like the official stood over the ball waiting for the defense to get in place before he allowed the ball to be snapped.
He did. Like I said, grace and courtesy of the officials. You got to love it.
Yeah. It's got to have something to do with that new clock rule, too.
Right. And it's a transition. And any change in a major sport, you know, you're going to have a transition period where the officials assist the other teams in getting used to it, getting acclimated to it.
Good call there, Richard. Let's go to Leonard.
Good job, Rich.
Leonard on line one. Leonard, you're on the Bud Light Postgame Show. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. Just wanted to say it looks like we found a running game finally. That's definitely a good thing. It seemed like Virginia could not catch the ball. I mean, they had a lot of drop passes, and
they did.
That probably helped us out some, too. But good game offensively. No turnovers. That was good. One question about I think they called it twice, but it was something about there was a tight end covering a wide receiver or something, and the explanation just didn't make any sense to me. I mean,
well, because when he said covering, he didn't mean he was covering him. You know, from defensively, he meant he was lined up next to him or beyond him, meaning covering the tight end.
Right.
Making the tight end ineligible.
Right. Okay. The tight end, when they say covering, the receiver, the number one receiver, which is usually one lined up on the sideline, cannot have his foot on the line of scrimmage. If his foot is on the line of scrimmage, that makes the tight end ineligible.
But it did sound funny. Everybody in my section was talking about that, too. What do you mean the wide receiver was covering the tight end? What he meant by covering didn't mean he was covering him defensively. It just meant he was on the line, and the tight end was on the line also covering.
That's right.
He could have said also on the line of scrimmage or something.
Yeah, could have said it. And that was a player downfield.
He was hitting us with a little ref speak there and confused everybody.
I was wondering, you know, where are all the ladies tonight that were calling you 2 weeks ago?
You know, it's funny. Snoop mentioned that during the break. He thinks there's a conspiracy now that they've all stopped calling.
I just thought that was funny a couple of weeks ago.
That was real funny to me.
Funny to your wife.
Well, my wife did not like that at all, but let me tell you.
All right, Leonard. Guys, enjoy your show, and y'all have a good night.
All right, Leonard. Thank you.
All right, Leonard. Appreciate it, Leonard.
355-8822 on the Bud Light postgame show after a big Pirate win. Let's go to Linwood on line two. Linwood, you're on. How you doing?
How you doing, Henry?
Good.
All right, I wanted to direct this question to Snoop. I wanted to know what you think the biggest key is going to be into winning against Tulsa next week.
The biggest key is going to come out and number one, establish that running game exactly like we just did today and continue to play defense like we've been doing the past couple of weeks, especially in the defensive secondary. We haven't said much about it today, but the defensive secondary played another outstanding game today. It was great. I mean, just because we don't see a bunch of INTs does not mean the DBs didn't play, because we had tons of PBUs, and that's pass breakups.
Exactly. And Ryan PBUs. He was remarkable tonight also.
Yes, he was.
Good word.
Had a couple of, when you begin to have the players that names that you don't hear called frequently begin to step up like what happened today, then that's a team maturing into its own, I gotta tell you.
Yeah. Exactly, and that establishes a good thing for the whole ECU thing.
Yes, sir.
And I just wanted to say go Pirates, and we need to make sure we count this as a win.
And it is a win.
And I didn't look at too much of what they did wrong. We just got a win in the night.
That's right.
Well, I tell you, not only was it a win, it was a butt kicking. I mean,
yeah.
East Carolina really won the statistical category. They control the clock. One thing we had not talked about tonight, yet is the time of possession, but I believe
I saw that earlier. Advantage or something.
We controlled the clock 38 minutes and 14 seconds. They had it 21:46, so we had the clock 17 minutes.
I know it's
tired
tonight.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right, man. Thanks for the call.
Appreciate it.
All right, boss.
Go on, Len. Let's go to Doug on line one. And Doug, you're on the Bud Light postgame show with the Snoop Dogg. And Henry Hinton, go ahead. How you doing? Doug, you with us?
Yeah. I'm a Virginia fan, and you can imagine I'm pretty depressed right now. And I just wonder what you thought about the game. You know, there are a lot of us fans up there that are ready to hang Al Groh. You know, it just looks like he blew the coaching tonight. And the other question I have is, you know, what's all the stuff around Snoop's tank?
It's his press pass.
Oh, he's
trying to be cool.
I didn't even catch that. I just come straight from the game to hear.
What kind of press pass? That's an all-access pass, by the way. That even gets him into the women's locker room.
could you send me one of those things up front?
Well, I tell you what, there are definitely an asset to have, I got to tell you.
Doug, if you're a Virginia fan, you probably don't know this, but Snoop was a star player here at East Carolina. And all the star players get these all-access passes, gets them in everywhere. You know, they go back there, they can walk behind a concession stand, get a hot dog if they want to. It's amazing.
But to get to what you say about Al Groh, with that, and I know the fans sometimes, you know, the players win the game and the coaches always lose it. That's the way it should be. The coaches always takes it on the shoulders. But there was a couple of plays that could have turned the game around for Virginia if the receiver holds on to the ball. So that's where I feel it, you know, the losses, you know, accumulated at is because Virginia just failed to hold on to it.
Well, you know, you guys have a tough schedule left, too.
Yes,
and that's unfortunate. I don't know where the whole Al Groh thing is going to go, but I will say this. It's a very young football team. Your offense is very young. They just really decided on the Sewell kid as a starter, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah,
at quarterback.
I don't think there's anything wrong with Sewell.
And I agree, the receivers did drop a lot of good balls, especially Byers.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you know, Deion Williams is just coming back. But, you know, they may win two or three more games. But the other thing I want to say, and I'll let you go, is that the East Carolina fans were extremely courteous to the Virginia fans. And when you all come up to Charlottesville in 2008, we'll try to show you the same courtesies, but you were real professional.
Hey, Doug, before you go, I got to ask you just one question. Who was the male cheerleader that ran the flag onto the field for Virginia? That guy's got to run a 4.240. I have not seen a cheerleader or a player for that one. That's
him up. He needs to be returning punts or something.
Oh, my goodness, he was fast.
Well, he's pretty good. You know, since his sex change operation, he's speed.
We know about the ACC. We're not.
We're not
going to go there.
Okay, just take it easy on the ladies tonight, okay?
Doug, thank you for calling. Glad you enjoyed your trip to Greenville. Sorry about the outcome tonight. We got to get out of here, don't we?
Yeah, I think we did.
If we don't get out of here, we're not even going to get home in time to see Saturday Night Live.
That's right.
We got to get out of time for that. A lot of great calls tonight. We appreciate everybody calling tonight. I want to say a special word of thanks to our Talk 1070 sports team and Cable 7 sports team, who work very, very hard each and every game day to bring you the best coverage that you can get of East Carolina football anywhere. And I'll name them right now. Jeff Harrell, our director and producer tonight. Ginger Harvey is producing, directing, isn't she, Jeff? Jeff has been our producer tonight. John Creech producing for radio. Trent McGee. In fact, Trent, you got any updates on scores? We didn't go to you but once tonight.
Yeah, dude, he doesn't get to
yeah,
him.
Yeah, let's do that. probably wonder why we hadn't already. We had so
sorry
much
about
to do.
That, Trent.
Let's go to Trent right now and get an update on what's going on with the Bud Light scoreboard, and then we'll say goodnight. Trent, what you got for us?
We got some good calls, guys. But anyway, these games going on right now, these games in progress. California's up on Oregon 45-17, Boise State 55-7 over Louisiana Tech. This game just became a final, guys. Tennessee 51, Georgia 33.
Wow.
So maybe an upset there in the SEC. Conference USA Finals from today, Rice lost to Tulane 38-24. Memphis did not get by UAB. UAB won that game 35-29. Louisiana Lafayette beat Houston 31-28. And UTEP is up over Southern Methodist right now, that game in the third quarter, guys.
And finally, Alabama did run away over Duke.
They did.
That game was close with about midway the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
It was 16-14, Alabama over Duke. But the final score ends up being Alabama 30, Duke 14. So over there at Ted Roof Incorporated, there's a lot of, if the people of Virginia think they got problems.
God.
Remember, you did beat Duke 37-0 last
you
week.
You did.
And our man Ted having some issues. Again, thanks to Snoop for being here tonight. Also, I want to thank Jonathan Edwards for getting the tape on the Skip Holtz press conference. Thanks to Patrick Johnson and all the guys for their work on the pregame show. Kevin Monroe, Denny O'Brien, Ron Clements, Trent McGee, everybody who put in on the Pepsi postgame pregame show today, and everybody here in the studio tonight for our Bud Light postgame show. For Snoop Wallace, Snoop, good to see you, man.
Same here.
Snoop will be gone last week.
I will be going.
Snoop will not be here for the postgame next week. He's playing hooky and doing something.
No, taking my children to the mountains.
Couple of program notes for you. Don't forget the Panthers tomorrow. Noon is pregame. 1 o'clock kickoff here on Talk 1070 with the Cleveland Browns, and then 7 o'clock tomorrow night the Skip Holtz Show. Monday night the Brian Bailey Show, and a full week of coverage. Everybody have a great week. Go Pirates. We'll see you next time.
Go Pirates.
Want to hear a great concept? CPW's in Greenville features a restaurant in a restaurant. What is a restaurant in a restaurant? Well, let me tell you. CPW's knows that you love the wide variety of culinary delights on the regular menu, but that's not good enough for them. CPW's gives you a rotating menu of their favorite chef's picks that features fare from around the globe. Join CPW's this month as they travel to the Pacific Rim. Tingle your taste buds with a fusion of flavors and techniques from the East and West as they wok and roll with kicked-up versions of classic Asian, Australian, and Hawaiian dishes, including crab wontons, Asian firecracker shrimp, surf and turf kangaroo, and shrimp kebabs. Join Lori at the bar for her amazing green tea and Loco Loco Mocha Mocha, and party with the staff every Thursday for our soon-to-be famous Luau night.
The food and drink are fun, and the chopsticks are free. CPW, Stanton Square, across from the hospital, Greenville. Come taste the world.
At Brown & Wood Jeep Mazda, friends and family pricing means you can buy any new Mazda vehicle at or near invoice. Plus, get dealer cash and rebates up to $4,000 on selected Mazda vehicles. Test drive the all-new Mazda CX-7, the SUV you never saw coming. Find Eastern North Carolina's largest selection of Mazdas at Brown & Wood Jeep Mazda. Bad credit, no problem. Get approved in less than 10 minutes. Brown & Wood Jeep Mazda, family-owned and operated for 70 years. Greenville Boulevard, Greenville.
Have you noticed how some restaurants are saying now they let you build your burger to order? Like that's news. Where have these people been? I mean, Fuddruckers has been doing that for 25 years. Those other restaurants say they make sure your burger is built the way you want it.